Morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. If you are a guest with us this morning, welcome. And we are so grateful for the fact that you are here. Hopefully when you came in this morning, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or leave it on the information table. That would be so helpful to us. And hopefully you also received the bulletin, and so maybe did the rest of you. So if you have a bulletin, open it up. Let's take a look at the things that are going on this morning. So you will see in the bulletin that 11:30 after our worship service here at 10 a.m., we are going to be having Sunday school. Well, our Sunday school is going to be a little bit different this morning because yesterday the ladies had a Bible conference here with a special speaker named Catherine Wright from South Carolina. Anyway, I know where she's from. She knows where she's from. The rest of us, it doesn't really matter, right? But she came to be able to visit with our women and to be able to talk with them yesterday, and they're going to have their last session of the conference right after our morning worship service at 11:30. And so, ladies, you're going to just have it right here in the sanctuary. Men, for 11:30, we're going to go into the large room down the hallway here, and we are going to have, a prayer time. From what I understand. So men in the at 11:30, men in the large room, ladies here in the sanctuary. If you weren't able, ladies, to make it yesterday for the conference, I want to encourage you to be able to stay and take part in this session at 11:30. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible Study here at the church. Thursday, we have Awana. It's blue and orange night. Guess why? Because we live in Boise, right? Okay. All right. Whole lot of other announcements in the bulletin. I'm just going to hit a couple. So the mail slots, the mailboxes for us as church family, some of them have been moved. So if your last name starts between the letters of A and F, your mailbox is no longer in the hallway. It's in the library. For those of you after F, your mailboxes haven't been moved yet. And so they're in the process of being moved, but yours aren't there yet. So A through F, yours is in the library. If you're from G to Z and you want to go in and check out the new mailboxes, you can do that. But those of you who are at the beginning of the alphabet, A through F, yours are in there. And we need to thank Shane Bonner for his work on putting those new mailboxes in for us. So I know some of you are going, why new mailboxes? Because we ran out of space for the old ones, which is a really good situation for us as a church, right? We have more people than we had mailboxes in the hallway. So now we're going to have way enough mailboxes for everybody in the library. So if you go in the library door and you turn to the left, you can't miss them. They're right there. So stop in, take a look at them, all right? And then next Sunday, we will be observing communion. We will also be receiving an offering for the benevolent fund. And by the way, we have a drinking fountain in the hallway now. It is operable. Actually, it's brand new. And by the way, those of you that have those big, bulky metal containers that you put water in it, you can fill them up right there, okay? All right, right at the drinking fountain. So we want to thank Michael and Brian Crawford for putting that in for thank us you. As well. I know. I don't know how to handle it. We're moving into the 21st century, or we're being dragged into the 21st century. I'm not sure. But anyway, God is good. Amen?
Amen.
And because he's good, he desires that we worship him. Is that why you came this morning? To be able to worship? Let's get after it. Let's go, worship team.
Would you all stand with me? We're going to start out with, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood availed for me. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leave ye lame for joy. Glory to God, and praise and love be ever, ever given by saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven. By saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much that we get this opportunity to join together in praise and worship of you, how great you are. Lord, we magnify you today. You are our hope in life. You are hope in death. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to him belong. Who holds our days within his hand? What comes apart from his great plan? And what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. What truth can calm the troubled soul? God is good, God is good. Where is his grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trial, who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs. Christ, our hope in life and death. Unto the grave, what will we sing? Christ, he lives, Christ, he lives. And what gift will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him. There we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ, our hope in life and death. Now and ever we confess Christ, our hope in life and death. Would you please be seated as we continue this morning? When I'm at my end, You're just getting started. When I hit a wall, you just walk through. When I face a mountain, you are the maker. So it's gotta move. When I'm out of faith, you are still faithful. When I'm at my worst, you are still good. In all of my questions, you are the answer. It all points to you. You're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise, 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 yeah. Out of our wrongs, you write a story. Out of the cross come rivers of grace. Out of the grave bursts a revival no tomb can contain. 'Cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I've still got a reason to praise, 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 yeah. Oh, praise, praise, praise. I've still got a reason to praise. But when you come around dry bones, come to life, deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again, lungs stretch to breathe you in, souls just erupt into praise. When you come around, dry bones come to life, deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again, lungs stretch to breathe you in, souls just erupt into praise, yeah. You're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise, 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 yeah. Still got a reason to praise, praise, praise. I still got a reason to praise. Lord, we praise you today because you're worthy of it. No matter what, no matter what situation we're in, what hardship, what blessing, we have great reasons to praise you. You indeed are our shepherd, and you have good plans for us. So, Lord, we trust in you today. We're here because we trust in you. We're thankful for you. As we quiet our hearts and we take these few moments to just commune with you, Lord, would you speak truth and life into our lives, into our minds, into our hearts. The Lord is my shepherd, and he is everything I need. So I will not worry, I will not fear the enemy. He said that he loves me, he said that he's with me, even though I walk through the valley, shadow and death, and still I know he has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. I know my Father, I know my Father has good plans. The Lord is my Savior, so why should I doubt my victory? Why would I question the rod and the staff that comforts me? He quiets waters, He quiets the storm inside of me. So what could be better than walking with Him when I believe He has good plans? He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father as He has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father has good plans. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow after me. So fear will not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow after me. So fear will not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow after me. So fear will not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father has good plans. If I know my Father, I know my Father has good plans. Thank you, Jesus, for paving the way for us to have a future and a hope because of you in eternity. Those are good plans. Lord, thank you. Thank you for including us in your plans. God is good. Amen. Yes, he is. We're going to take this morning's offering, and we're going to sing you a song from 2005. And it was...
Before you were born.
Yeah, before... Yeah, some of you in here. This song came to mind when one of our elders sent a text message and said, "Hey, I just want to let you know you've been a blessing." And immediately the Lord was like, "We choose to be a blessing for people. It's not automatic. It's to praise Him." So there's a song about that, and we're going to sing it. Let it be said of us, while we walked among the living, let it be said of us, by the ones we leave behind, let it be said of us, and that we live to be a blessing for life. Let it be said of us that we gave to reach the dying. Let it be said of us by the fruit we leave behind. Let it be said of us that our legacy is blessing for life. Oh, this day you said life, you said death right before us. And this day every blessing and curse is a choice now, and we will choose to be a blessing for life. Let it be said of us that our hearts belong to Jesus. Let it be said of us that we spoke the words of life. Let it be said of us that our heritage is blessing for life. This day you said life, you said death right before us. This day every blessing and curse is a choice now, and we will choose to be a blessing for life. We will choose to be a blessing for life. It's blessings and curses are choices. His blessings and curses are choices. Will we build up, tear down? The moment of truth is now, this day. You said life, you said death right before us. This day, every blessing and curse is a choice now, and we will choose to be a blessing for life. For your kingdom, for our children, for the sake of every nation. For your kingdom, for our children, for the sake of every nation. We will choose to be a blessing for life. We will choose to be a blessing for life.
You know, that kind of fits with where we've been in our series on studying the people that are mentioned in God's Word and how their lives were a life of trust. I couldn't help but be thinking about when we looked at Enoch, and we talked about at the end of the message, could it be said of us when we pass on that we walked with God? Will people stand up at our memorial service or at our funeral and say, Pastor Sam walked with God? That's what I want. And then when we talked about Noah, we talked about his faithfulness to God, about how he lived his life before God in a wicked world, and God took notice of that, and then God gave him a responsibility to be able to do. Would it be said of us that we were faithful to God no matter how bad the culture got, no matter how bad society got, no matter how bad the world got, we were still faithful to God? And wouldn't it be cool if not only they could say those things, but they could say about us that we were a blessing to them? Now, I've been to a lot of funerals. I've done a lot of funerals. I've done a lot of memorial services. And I know that sometimes people stand up and say, so-and-so was such a blessing to me. But they're talking about being a blessing in a material way, or in an emotional way, or in a relational way. But they never really talk about being a blessing to that person in a spiritual way. And I think that's far more important, don't you, to be a blessing in a spiritual way than a material way, or an emotional way, or a relational way. Man, there are so many lessons for us to be able to learn as believers in the way that we ought to live our lives. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you sent to Children's Church. You thought I forgot, didn't you? No, you didn't? Okay, good. All right, because I didn't. All right, let's pray. Father, we are just so blessed by what we've been able to share today, what we've been able to experience today. Father, the praise that we were able to lift up through our voices and our hearts and our minds. And Father, right now, I just pray that you quiet us, quiet our minds, quiet our hearts to be able to hear from your word. And Father, I pray that your word will help us to be able to know how it is you want us to live before you and before others. Father, so that we could be called faithful, so that we could be called one who walked with God, so that we could be called one who was a blessing. And as we're going to learn today, so that we can be called a friend of God. So, Father, we pray that you will answer that prayer in the way that you choose. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Go have a great time. All right, turn with me, if you will, to Genesis. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to be in several other chapters in Genesis. We're going to be in several other places in the Word. And so this morning we're going to focus our attention on Abraham. But we're only going to scratch the surface, because there is so much about Abraham that we could bring out. And it would take many, many hours. It would take many, many sermons to be able to truly bring it out. But our focus is on people that God has given us in his word to be able to look at their lives, who lived a life and left a heritage of trust. And so we're going to see that with Abraham. Now, I do want to say this. Somebody last week said to me, I'm not going to mention any names, I'm not going to give you a whole lot of information, but they said, "So, Pastor, every one of these people have been males." Oh, some of you didn't figure it out till just now, right? Okay? Well, wait till next week. It won't be a male. It'll be a female that we focus our attention on. Okay? Spoiler alert. All right? So those of you that have been wondering, what about the women? Come next week. All right? And we'll see how that works out. All right. But you know what? Have you ever been bored? Just bored out of your gourd? See what I did there? Okay. Some of you will get that after lunch. It'll be okay. Boredom is a problem in our society today, and it is especially problematic with teens. And boredom has driven people to do some really crazy things. Boredom has driven people to quit their jobs, to quit their marriages, to quit their churches, to turn to things that lead to addiction, to run away from their bad choices, and to become involved in immoral behavior of all kinds. When some people have been exposed to every kind of boredom there is, then they ask, is there anything else? And we live in a time in history when many, many, many people are driven by boredom. And when they get to a place to where they've been driven to the end of their rope by boredom, they say, I've seen it all and done it all. Is there really anything else? But yet, on the other hand, there are many who live exciting lives. And one person that stands out is a man that we read a lot about in the Old Testament, a man named Abraham. And Abraham's life, just like ours, was full of strengths and weaknesses, and there are lessons we can learn from his life. So we're going to look at some things in the life of Abraham. The first thing we're going to look at is Abraham's call from God. If you're taking notes on the back of the bulletin, that's point number one. Abraham's call from God. Look at Genesis chapter 12. And I'm going to read verses 12, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, Abraham, same person. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now Abraham's journey began with the call from God. Abraham was instructed to leave the place where he had settled with his family. Go back to Genesis chapter 11, look at verse 31. The territory in which they extended from Mesha in the direction of Sephar to the hill country of the east. These are the sons of Shem by their clans, their languages, and their... Oh, I'm reading the wrong place. Whoop. 11:31. I was reading from chapter 10. Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran his grandson and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. So God came to Haran, and he found this fellow named Abram. And he said to Abram, I want you to follow this call that I'm giving to you. And Abraham was to go to a land that God would show him. This is a call that was a call of separation. Go back to verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. God said, what? Go. Go from your father's house. Go from your where your family is. Leave that. Leave that behind and go to a place that I will show you. This is a call of separation. Now Abraham, as we've seen, was born and raised in the country of Ur. It was near the Persian Gulf, near the country that we know of today as Iran. And even in 2000 BC, it had an advanced culture. In the 20s and 30s, Sir Charles Leonard Woolley excavated Ur and produced some of the greatest treasures of archaeology. For example, in Ur's Royal Cemetery, they found 16 tombs, each one filled with golden headdresses and gold and silver harps. Each tomb also contained up to 74 bodies of servants who were buried with the king. Woolley's excavations also revealed that the houses in Ur were two stories high and were whitewashed to be pleasing to the eye. The larger homes had up to 20 rooms. What? Well-equipped kitchens. Get this, indoor plumbing and sanitation. Their schools taught math, astronomy, and medicine. It was a city that contained a large library and a university. Now, wait a minute. Aren't we led to believe that human intelligence has evolved throughout the years? How could this be? It's because, remember, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them with what? Intelligence right from the get-go. And we see that just not too far into human history, to where they were using what it is that they knew, the technology, the intelligence that they had. And through archaeologists, we have discovered that the land of Ur that Abraham came from was a great city of wealth and culture. And Abraham probably had an extremely comfortable life in the most advanced culture of that time. And then God comes along and instructs Abraham to leave his country and his people to follow God's plan and purpose for him. This call from God was a call of obedience without Abraham knowing the full picture. I'm going to say that again. This call of God was a call of obedience without Abraham knowing the full picture. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going. How many of you would do that? How many of you would do that? I'm not sure I would do that. Now, I remember a time when after Becky and I were married and we had children, and we were involved in the Awana ministry in our church in Kansas, and we got involved with our Awana missionaries, and through that, God led us to be Awana missionaries. We applied to Awana headquarters. We got accepted as Awana missionaries, and at the time that we applied, they had three places that we could have gone. We could have gone to Ohio. We said, nope, that's too close to my family. Didn't want to go there. Would not have been a good situation. Then there was Mississippi and Alabama. I said, I don't want to go there because I don't want to have to go to language school. And then there was the Northwest. There was Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho, Northeast Oregon, and Northwest Montana. And so we said, okay, we'll go there. Part of the reason why we said okay was because we knew that was God sending us to that place, because Becky's mom had a sister that lived in Colfax, and her dad had a sister that lived in Pullman, Washington, Colfax, Washington, and Pullman, Washington. So they had a lot of reasons to be able to come and see us on a pretty regular basis, because we wouldn't be the only one. But I remember driving through Colorado, driving through Wyoming, driving through Montana, and just seeing how beautiful it was, but driving to a place I'd never been before and not knowing anybody in this place other than those two aunts. But we weren't going where they were. We were going to Spokane. We didn't know anybody in Spokane. So I know a little bit about what Abram's facing here. He's being told to go to a place he's never been to before. That's a little daunting. There's a lot of questions. It's like, what happens if we go and we don't get to meet anybody? What happens if we go and nobody likes us? What happens if we go and this thing doesn't work out the way that we have been praying and the way that we've been hoping? What happens if all of that? But the Bible doesn't say that Abraham had any questions. What did he do? He obeyed. He obeyed God. You know, there are times in our lives when God, through his Holy Spirit, God, through his word, is prompting us to be able to do something. And when we know that that prompting is coming from his Holy Spirit, when we know that that prompting is coming from him, we have a choice. We sang about that. We have a choice to be a blessing. We have a choice to be a curse. We have a choice to obey God. We have a choice to say, not this time, God. Not for me. The choice is ours. Abraham made a choice of obedience. He obeyed. Now what Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith Abraham obeyed. He obeyed God even though he did not know where he was going. Do you realize something? This took a lot of trust in God's promises. Go back to verses 2 and 3 of Genesis chapter 12. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing, God says to Abram. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God promised to make Abraham a great nation and to bless him. That is why Abraham could trust God, because he trusted God's promises. You know what? You and I, we can trust God's promises. We've been talking about that, right? God is not a promise breaker. He's a promise maker, but he's not a promise breaker. And I don't think we have to rehearse all of the promises that God made about sending the Savior into the world through the nation of Israel. And every single one of those promises came true exactly, came to be fulfilled exactly as God said, as God promised that they would. God promised to make Abraham a great nation and to bless him, and this was a journey of total trust and dependence on God. Abraham's journey required him to trust God completely for direction and provision. Where was Abraham's family? They were left in Haran. Abraham picked up his wife, picked up his nephew Lot, picked up his servants, picked up his livestock, picked up whatever possessions he had that he took from the Ur of Chaldees to Haran and started on this journey. You know, one of the lessons of Abraham's life teaches us to leave the things of the world and follow the things of God. And as believers, we are called by God to leave the habits of sin and leave the philosophies and ideologies of the world. We're to leave those things behind. We are to be set apart. We are to be sanctified. That's what that word sanctified means, to be set apart. Not to the world, but to God. Abraham was willing. Are you? Abraham was willing. How about you? We're going to look at another thing, Abraham's covenant with God. Go to Genesis chapter 15, just a couple chapters over from Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 21. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your offspring, I give this land. What land? The land that when Abraham got to that land, God said, this is the place. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So you understand something here, right? The land that God was giving to Abram was vast. It was huge. It was large. It was immense. You get the idea? It wasn't some, like if you look at a map of what Israel has today, it's not just a little strip of land in the Middle East. From the Egypt to the river Euphrates and everything in between. That's a long, long way. That's an awful lot of land. God established a covenant with Abraham, and he said, to your offspring, I give all of this land. Now, as I was putting this together, I was wondering, what's a covenant? Well, a covenant's kind of like a contract, except it's far more binding and serious. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. Look at verses 1 through 3 again. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It was a covenant. It was a covenant of land, of descendants, and blessings for all families of the earth. And God promised Abraham numerous descendants and the land of Canaan. And I think he did that for a reason. And the reason is this. Look at Genesis chapter 15. Go back to verse 6. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And he, being Abram, and he believed the Lord, and he, God, counted it to him as righteousness. I'm going to stop there for a moment. So, was it Abraham's willingness to leave the land of Haran to be able to start on this journey and not knowing where he was going and waiting till he got to the place to where God would say, Abram, this is it. This is the place. Was that counted to him as righteousness? No. What was counted to him for righteousness? His belief, not his works. Whoa. That's a lesson for us, huh? Because sometimes we've been conditioned, sometimes we've been told, sometimes we've been taught that in order for us to be able to have God's righteousness, we have to what? We have to work for it. We have to do this. We have to do that. We have to follow this list of rules and regulations that have been put together by church leaders. We have to repent. We have to walk an aisle. We have to pray. We have to give. We have to do this. We have to do that in order for us to be able to have God's righteousness. Can I remind you what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says? But for our sake, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that in him we might be the righteousness of God. In him, by what? Belief. Believing in him. Believing in him for the promise of eternal life. Understanding that he went to that cross so that we could have his righteousness. Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness, setting an example for all believers to come after him. Abraham's righteousness came by faith, not by works. And Abram believed the Lord, and God counted to him as righteousness. That's his character of righteousness. But it didn't come on his own doing. It didn't come of his own merit. Didn't come of his own works or his own intelligence or his own wealth. Remember, he lived in a country that was full of culture, that was full of wealth. None of that brought to him God's righteousness. Only his belief brought that. Now let's look at Abraham's heritage of trust. Abraham's life of trust in God left an enduring impact on generations to come. He was the father of several nations. Go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, look at verses 4 through 6. Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. Abraham's life of trust left an enduring impact on generations to come. How about your life? How about my life? How about your life of trust in God? How about my life in trust of God? Will it leave an impact for generations that follow us? Not only is he the father of several nations, he is an example of trust in God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6 says, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham's trust in God set the standard for all who believe in God's promises. Chapter 7, or here's the third thing, a blessing to all nations. Go back to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Through Abraham, all families of the earth are blessed. Do you realize that this part of the covenant is still in practice today? It is still in effect today? Now, how are all the families of the earth being blessed by this covenant made between God and Abraham? This is fulfilled. It's fulfilled in Jesus the Savior. When we believe in Jesus as Savior, we are given, the Bible tells us, every spiritual blessing. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And then watch this. Abraham was declared to be a friend of God. James chapter 2, verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Abraham had a close relationship with God, just like Abel, just like Enoch, just like Noah. Abraham had a close relationship with God, and Abraham was called God's friend. Would there be any other greater description of your spiritual life and my spiritual life? That people could look at our lives and be able to know that God is our friend. And not only that, but we are God's friend. Wow, how cool is that? All right, there's a couple things I want to leave with you this morning. Here's the first thing. Trust involves obedience and action. Abraham believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You know, sometimes we sing that hymn, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to what? Trust and obey. What comes first? The trust. Then what comes? The obedience. Obedience to who? To God. And to his word. We can trust God's promises. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? We can trust God's promises. All of the promises that have been made to us as believers. The promise of eternal life. Do you trust that? The promise of the opportunity that we have to be able to serve God. Do you trust? We've been given a gift. Every believer has been given a spiritual gift to be used for him. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, that we might, what? Do good works that he has before ordained for us to be able to do. And then we can trust God's timing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, he, which means God, has made everything beautiful in its time. God did all of this for Abraham. And guess what? He will do it for you. So let's live a life of trust. Let's follow the example given to us of Abraham. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be able to look into the life of Abraham, to be able to see these lessons of trust. And Father, help us to be able to trust you. Father, help us to be able to trust your word. Father, help us to be able to live a life that is full of obedience. And that it could be said of us, like it was said of Enoch, that he pleased God. Father, may our lives please you every moment. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song? Many of you know it by heart. I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender. Yes, I surrender.